Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios on this beautiful Saturday morning. I am David Haw along with Bruce Levine talking baseball until 11 o'clock like we do every Saturday morning. Today, wondering if the Cubs are truly World Series contenders. And as the kids say, keeping it 100 about the White Sox. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, David. You're excited about the last weekend of baseball beyond Chicago. And, you know, we talk a lot of Chicago baseball here because that's where we're at. But there's so much going on in the baseball world outside of Chicago, including not knowing, other than in Milwaukee or Philadelphia or Seattle, the fact that you have a bye for the first round. Yankees and Toronto still fighting it out. All the other divisions up in the air as far as where people are playing, including that exciting Cleveland-Detroit matchup where they're tied with 2 days left. So a lot of exciting things going on in baseball, but we concentrate on Chicago baseball. And, David,
yes,
I think starting with the Chicago Cubs,
yes,
and the situations with Cade Horton.
Oh, my.
With your right fielder in Kyle Tucker.
Goodness sakes.
DH.
Yeah, go keep going.
Where would you like to start?
The list of concerns grows, Bruce, but so does the excitement, because there is meaningful baseball heading into October, and that is the key thing never to forget. This is the first time since 2020 when there weren't fans at the ballpark, but first time since 2018 where everyone can get involved, that we've had October baseball on the north side. That is exciting. That's why we have a big show ahead. 9:30, Pete Crow Armstrong, the only player in Cub history. Think about that, folks. The only player in Cub history to have a season where he's hit 30 home runs, 30 doubles, and 30 stolen bases. He joins us right here inside the clubhouse. 10:30, White Sox manager Will Venable coming off a huge victory himself last night. Kosta Montgomery, homers in the ninth. They beat the Nationals. I know it means nothing, but that was exciting. The way they came back and the swing of the bat with the torpedo bat, whatever he's doing, Kosta Montgomery hits his 20th home run. That was cool. And Bruce, we just have a lot of fun in the next 2 hours talking about what's going to happen this week, ideally at Wrigley Field, but what the Cubs have to do to make sure that happens in the next two games.
312-644-6767. We are always interactive here. David, let's start with the pitching situation.
Yes.
The Chicago Cubs. And let's start with Cade Horton. Yesterday, we had found out that Cade Horton, since having this problem with his rib back last week, that he was going to throw for the first time. What did that mean? What it meant was that he was actually only going to play catch. Okay, so that's what he did yesterday. After the game, I talked to Cade Horton. I said, what is this all about? He said, well, our next move is to throw a side. So that was addressed by by President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer. David, we don't know when he's going to throw this side, and the determination of throwing this side is also the determination if he pitches in game one, game two, or not at all.
See, I think that's a good point to remember, Bruce, and the vagueness, I don't know if it's intentional or but in terms of gamesmanship, and I don't know if it's just it reflects that the Cubs still don't know themselves, and that's sort of what we heard Friday from the team president who, look, I'll say this, they've not been afraid to address the topic and be honest about how much maybe they're uncertain as well, or is this intentional? Jed Hoyer addressed the status of Cade Horton before Friday's game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's been as good as any pitcher in baseball in the second half. He's been amazing. You know, I'm hopeful that he's the rookie of the year. And he threw today, and the next step it would be a bullpen, and we'll keep moving forward.
Where
I don't know. At any given day, there's 10, 12 guys on the injury report. And you're always just kind of this is what we do. You kind of monitor these different things, and obviously in this case it's higher profile, but obviously, like I said, Cade threw earlier, and we're gonna keep moving forward.
Bruce, we heard from Jed, we heard from Craig Counsell. You've been out there as much as anybody this year. You also can interpret those guys as well as anybody. What's your gut say about Cade Horton?
Well, the good news is this. When I talked to Cade, I said, what did the independent doctor tell you? And he said that I'm okay. Okay. So that type of clearance was what he needed personally, professionally, to move forward, knowing that he wasn't going to hurt himself, I believe, any further by throwing, right? So that's the key. You have a young guy who threw 34 innings last year, David, and went well beyond where he thought, where the team thought, where any of us thought he would go this year, passing the 100-plus mark and then being, on top of it, one of the dominant pitchers in the game. So the future of Cade Horton is a concern to the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer, Craig Counsell, most importantly, Cade Horton. And he had to feel good about the fact that he could continue on his trek right now without hurting himself. And that's what we're finding out from throwing yesterday. Now the side will determine what he's got. He hasn't been down long enough for him to be rusted out, okay? I think that's something that we have to point out. It's been a short period of time. It seems forever, but it's been a short period of time.
Do you have in your mind two scenarios for the Cubs in the postseason? One, what they're capable of accomplishing if Cade Horton can start either game one or game two, and or what the Cubs can accomplish if they shelve him for the playoffs because they find out that he's just not ready. Are there two different paths that you think they take given his availability?
Three. So the third one is, does he pitch out of the bullpen?
Ooh, I don't know that I like that one, Bruce, but I think that's one to consider. Okay, go ahead. Go with that.
So with that in mind, you start, let's say in game two, it's elimination game automatically for either the Padres or the Cubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have on the mound in game two, you have, who is it? Is it Jameson Taillon? Is it Shota Imanaga?
I think it's Taillon.
Starting the game.
I think it's Taillon or Colin Ray.
My circle of trust goes in this order,
Bruce, right now. I know I'm a prisoner of the moment. Horton, Boyd, Taillon, Ray, Shota.
Right. But coming out, if you're in a tie game, it's the third inning, do you say, get Horton up, have him throw his 30 pitches, he's coming in to start the bottom of the third or the top of the fourth, depending on whether they're playing these games in Chicago or San Diego, which is another topic we'll be talking about. But he's going to need a full 30 pitches to get ready. So the bullpen for a starting pitcher is different than a bullpen guy getting ready and throwing 12 or 13 pitches.
Fair enough.
So again, that's a possible scenario. Do you feel good enough about him starting game two or game one, knowing that you have to be ready with someone else if he feels a twinge, right? If he feels a twinge and says, you know what, this is really affecting how I throw out there, you have to be ready for that. So scenarios, I believe Boyd is going to be the opener. What do you think?
I think Matthew Boyd is the safest bet for game one right now, because that allows you an extra day of precaution over Cade Horton. And I do believe that they're going to chance it. And I think that's probably, I'm not saying that cavalierly either, but I think if you give him an extra day, you build in a cushion for caution, and you also go to into the playoffs with your best starters in games one and two. Matthew Boyd and Cade Horton have been those guys. Boyd's coming off a very strong start. And Horton, you're ready in game two to give him a chance to see how far he can go, and then you use the bullpen if he can't. That's the way I would go about it. I still love the idea of game one for Horton and want to be consistent. If they go that route, great. But I do think that they're likely to go Matthew Boyd, veteran, Cade Horton, rookie, and then take their chances with game three, possibly if they don't have to use Tyone in one or two and go with him.
David, I'm going to throw you another monkey wrench.
Okay,
so
I like
ready.
Those. I like those. I'm ready to catch
it. The gears are going to get locked up.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Cubs decide to go with an opener?
I hate that idea. But you know what? That is a great question, because I need to do some research, because I believe that Craig Counsell has done that with the Brewers in the past. And I don't think anybody expected it when he did. And he's just enough of a, I don't want to say contrarian, but I do think that he has his moments and he does have his reasons. It would be defensible, I suppose. He could support it, I guess. I would not like that idea.
Well, would you rather have Brad Keller get Machado and Tatis out in the first inning or in the eighth?
I get it. This is why you brought him here, to look at the same picture and see it differently from everybody else. I get it, but I don't think that I would like it. I'm not that it would take some getting used to, but I understand why you asked that question, because you know Counsell as well as anybody, and he is capable of looking at things in that way. And it also might throw off the Padres, and maybe they, I don't know how it would affect their lineup construction.
They're not going to change their lineup.
No, I mean, they're not going to.
Those guys aren't going to bat fifth, sixth, and seventh.
No.
Just because Counsell might do that. But it's fascinating, because in the era of metrics and we know numbers that we didn't know,
yes,
10 years ago. Some of this makes sense, even to the curmudgeons like me who don't like all the new things. This is something I would have to consider, knowing that I would have a chance to get by Machado and Tatis earlier without putting a left-hander in there against
him. I love the question, and I love the possibility, and I love playoff baseball, because you have to consider everything. Okay, let's go to the big issue number two, Bruce. Kyle Tucker, he returned yesterday. He batted fourth. He was in right field. He scored two runs. Now, the two runs he scored, he didn't have to run. He could jog, because there were homers in a barrage of home runs Friday at Wrigley, and that was fun to see. They scored 12 runs. Where do you think the Cubs are with Kyle Tucker? And before we get to that answer to my question, let's hear from the man himself when he talked about what he did returning for the first time since September 2nd.
I feel good. Put some good swings on the ball. Had some good takes and everything. So overall, it was a pretty good day. I was mentally still, where I was before that, or before, when I was still playing. So overall, at bats and everything, felt pretty good.
Kyle Tucker, Friday, after having four at bats, being the designated hitter, and for the first time all year, batting fourth. Bruce, asking you the same question I'm asking you about Cade Horton. How far can the Cubs go with or without Kyle Tucker, and how strong do you think he is heading into the postseason?
Well, I like the at bats. He had the first at bat, he had a dribbler to first. Then he had a single. Then he had a walked, and he had a deep fly to right center field. That indication to me what he said. I really underlined the part where he said in that soundbite, David, I feel right where I need to be mentally, no different than when I left. And he hadn't played for 3 weeks, 24 days. that he hadn't played. So I liked hearing that from him. Reading Kyle Tucker as a pitcher or as a media person, very hard to do, very hard to get a hit off of him, or very hard to get him out. He's just very cool, calm, collected. He shows no emotion, right, either at the plate or when he's talking to the media.
Yep.
I think you'll like it. You don't like the fact that he's had injuries to deal with, but you like the fact that this is a pretty calm, cool, collected guy that has a plan.
I wouldn't want to play poker with the guy. I wouldn't want to rely on his expressions to give me a tell, because
counsel would be bad too.
Counsel would be terrible. They'd sit at the same table and you'd be like, are you guys with me? Why are you mad at me?
It would be like,
you could go out to lunch with them and be like,
dealers.
What did I say to offend you? They're like, oh, we're in a good mood. How can you tell?
Playing against dealers in a card game in Vegas. Okay. That would be sitting down at the table with you in a poker game after their shift. And them playing against you, it would not be good. But I mean, the point we're trying to make is they keep their emotions very deep in, and they're very intelligent about what they do.
No doubt.
In the case of Tucker, I just think that he feels good about where he's at. Is he going to play in the field? That's the next question. You know, I doubt that we're going to see him in the field in the first round, okay, in the wild card series. If the Cubs are fortunate enough to move past that, I think that would be next. When would that start? Next Friday or Saturday?
I think Saturday, because they would have to have a built-in day off at least. If you go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, isn't the Friday the off day? And then Saturday would be game one. A week from today could be game one of the NLDS.
It would. So it's not that far away,
no,
right?
I mean, not at
it's
all.
6 days away.
Big week ahead.
Is he going to be better enough to not be rusty out in the outfield where he hasn't played for, at that point, a month?
Bruce, I'll tell you what stood out to me yesterday as well. We don't get a read from Tucker necessarily. You don't really know what counsel's thinking and feeling. But Jed Hoyer, on a day where the Cubs get the 30th homer from Pete Crow Armstrong, the 30th homer and a grand slam from Seiya Suzuki, and Michael Bush is also the 30 home run guy, Jed Hoyer calls Kyle Tucker the best hitter on the team. And it reminds you just what he's capable of doing and his effect on the entire lineup. And it also makes me think in the back of your head, and maybe this is the optimist in everybody, if the Cubs have the best hitter on their team, healthy and complimenting everybody else, this is a team they can go deep into the playoffs, because this is a guy they really haven't had this month.
Right. And the opposite of not having played enough is being rested, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're with these injured players, we're not putting that into the equation, right?
Right.
He's well rested. His hand has had another month almost to feel better after playing with that broken finger for a good portion of the season. Being able to have more of a power stroke because of that might be an ancillary part of this equation when we look forward and see what type of damage he can do in this short series against San Diego and hopefully beyond that.
And Bruce, the last issue, which I think is one of the big three topics of discussion this week surrounding the Cubs. We talked about Horton. We talked about Tucker. Daniel Palencia is back. He pitched again yesterday. And I love the way that even in a blowout, Craig Counsell went to his bullpen as if it was a game of high leverage. Theobar, Kittredge, Palencia, and Keller in that order. And all of them did their jobs. And I just wonder, when you look at the Cubs bullpen with Palencia back, how much do you trust him again? Will the Cubs trust him? And you mentioned the possibility of an opener. You have to keep open minds to that. But if the Cubs are in a closing situation, do you think that Palencia automatically resumes that role?
No, I don't. I don't think there's anything automatic. And I think today is going to be another indicator. Because I asked Counsell yesterday before the game about bullpen management. And does he have to start shutting down his bullpen regardless of what's at stake for home field advantage here over the next couple days? And he said everything's going to be the same today, meaning Friday, which he did. You saw the whole bullpen. Saturday as well. He said Sunday is the day that I have to be concerned about usage for the bullpen, okay? Meaning he's got to get them ready for Tuesday. He doesn't want a worn-out bullpen going into Tuesday's game, whether it's in Chicago or it's in San Diego. So the question is, San Diego wins out the next two, which is very plausible against Arizona, who is just barely hanging on. And the Cubs don't win today. How far do the Cubs go on Sunday to try to win that game?
Good question. That's a really good question. It just depends on where they are, and the context changes daily. It could change today as they celebrate if they win today with their number, their magic number at two. I'm sorry, at one, and they can celebrate today if they beat the Cardinals at Wrigley Field right here on the Score. You can keep on listening all day here because we've got a big day ahead after Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce, let me ask you this. If the Cubs win today and they clinch that home field advantage, how muted will the celebration be? It's a big question just based on what happened after the last celebration they had in Pittsburgh.
I think they'll open a few bottles of champagne and a couple bottles of Schweppes. if you don't know what Schweppes is, look.
How about Old Style? You're at Wrigley.
Why not
some Old Style?
Yeah,
maybe.
Old Style, Old Milwaukee. Talking about a bad beer. No offense.
That's okay. We have a lot coming up, but I want to ask you one more thing. 12 or 13 pitchers for the playoff roster for the Cubs, and if you foresee them looking at that bullpen construction, if they have to be a man short, who might be the odd man out and who's on the bubble?
Really hard to say. The construction's really hard to say.
Don't tell me that you're thinking Moises Ballesteros is going to be out of the picture. I got to have Baller on the roster.
No, he's going to be there.
Okay.
They're going to need that left-handed bat.
Yeah.
Because first of all, San Diego is predominantly right-handed. So you're going to see Ballesteros. I don't know if Tucker's your DH, I don't know if Ballesteros can start a game. Where would you start him?
I don't know that you do. I don't know that you do unless you're going to bench a guy with 30 home runs and say a Suzuki. That's the only way that you would. And I don't think that would be something Craig Counsell would attempt.
No, but if Tucker's a DH, Ballesteros isn't going to replace Suzuki.
Well, that's the thing. The only way that you would do it is if you trusted Kyle Tucker in right field, and I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, I don't foresee it. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't foresee it. He said after the game, when talking to us, said he would take some fly balls.
But this is why you need him. This is why you need him, Bruce. It's a seventh inning. There's the runners at second and third. There's a right-hander on the mound. He's got to stay in the game. The Padres and Mike Schilt are handcuffed because you got to keep a reliever in the game. It's a right-hander, and Matt Shaw is at the plate. No, he's not, because here comes Mo Baller. Here comes the left-handed power bat. He laces a double into the gap. That's
going to
be the way why he's there.
Suarez or Miller throwing 100-plus,
yes,
right?
Yes, and here comes Mo Baller with the sweet swing.
It's the right scenario. You're right on it, Dave.
Boom.
There's no question.
Boom, it's playoff baseball.
But again, it's a open spot because when you use him, you have to use two guys.
Yes, I know. It's worth it, though. I mean, I was encouraged, and no disrespect, but when they chose Carlos Santana – and option him to the complex in Arizona. Given the reason he's here, one of the reasons they added him was for his veteran presence and experience. They basically spared that. They didn't value that over the possibility of Moises Ballesteros on the roster in a key situation. And I value that, and I think that's good for the Cubs.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, look, Santana really didn't hit the ball.
No,
let's
he didn't.
Be honest.
No, he didn't. You know, great batting practices.
One of them,
not so
one
much.
Of them was a gift from Soto the other night.
That was a gift.
The guy shut his eyes and the ball.
Yeah, that was a gift. All right, Bruce, we got to get to a break because we've got a big show ahead. When we come back here on Inside the Clubhouse, which we are going to be here till 11 o'clock, and Inside the Clubhouse is presented by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Will Venable, 10:30. We're talking White Sox. But when we come back, Pete Crow Armstrong, who reminded everybody why he is a star in Major League Baseball in the last few days. He ran the Cubs to a victory. He hit the Cubs to a victory. He made every play in the field. The highlight reel continues to be full of just plays that only PCA can make. We'll talk to him next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw. Brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you on 670 The Score.
There's a swing and a fly ball. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Get out the tape measure. Long gone for Pete Crow Armstrong.
Home run number 30 for Pete Crow Armstrong. He's been stuck on that number for a little bit, and it's good that he gets that out of the way here in the first game of this final series. And what a season Pete has had, but 30 bombs for the young Pete Crow Armstrong.
Every season has ups and downs. I think you expect that in 162 games. It can't be one straight line. And so, you know, Pete's had a great season. He's had a great offensive season. He's had a great season. How it happens is how it happens.
Thank you to 670 The Score, Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer for Friday's highlight. Pete Crow Armstrong making history at Wrigley Field. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. And now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is none other than Pete Crow Armstrong, the Cubs' young all-star center fielder. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. We really appreciate you taking the time. As you hear that highlight, as you reflect on yesterday, Pete, there have been over 2,000 players who have worn a Cub uniform. Only one has hit 30 home runs, 30 doubles, and stolen 30 bases in a season. That's you. Have you had a chance to reflect on what that means in the context of this season in your career today?
No. I think I'll sit on all that and really reflect once the year's said and done. It was such a cool reception yesterday during the game and then getting to go finish a job and in that kind of fashion. It was great, and it does mean a lot. But you know, I think a lot of the focus here has been on winning baseball games, you know, and making sure we're in a position to continue this season after 162 ends. So, I'll sit on that when it's all said and done here.
You know, the way that I've watched you, Pete, mature as far as your at-bats go is really interesting. Watched thousands of players, you know, develop the way they go about things. And to see the last, even maybe the last month or a few weeks, where your emotion hasn't gotten to the point where you're taking it out on the bat and your helmet, and you're coming back to the dugout, no matter whether you're successful or not, and talking to the coaches, talking to the other players about that at bat and funneling it that way. How hard has it been to get to that point and taking positives out of negatives going forward?
It's going to continue to be hard for me. I you know, I got to make the choice to process everything, you know, in the best way possible for everyone. You know, it all starts with me, obviously. But, you know, I've kind of continued to have my eyes opened as to how I can kind of, you know, bring the energy down in the dugout when the focus isn't where it should be. So I think that's it's a nice, you know, it's an important thing to note. Is the way that I'm carrying myself more than anything. You know, I think now at this point, I've seen how long the season is. And, if I really just want to beat myself up all the time, then I'm going to have to find a way to do that works for everybody. But I just don't think that's the proper plan of attack. but you know, I think that's helped me a lot, you know, being able to shift the focus to going to play defense or just going and directing my energy to our next batter, kind of taking one out of Nico's book, who kind of seems to, you know, to process really well from the outside looking in, at least. I just think he's one of those guys who keeps the energy right where it should be. And I think that's something that I'm capable of as well. So, yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up.
We are talking to Pete Crow Armstrong, the Cubs center fielder here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Pete, in the last week, we've seen examples of you impacting the game with your glove and diving catch the other night, with your bat yesterday, and certainly the most fun sequence of the week when you just took off for home and you saw what nobody else saw instinctively and you scored. So when you look at all the ways that you can affect a game, all the skills that are special in the eyes of the beholder and Cub fans, what are you proudest of? Which aspect do you think makes you most unique?
I think my glove, I think my glove's always been my, you know, my kind of front running attribute, at least for myself. I think that's what I'm most proud of. But I think that it is unique how runs can be created on the bases. And, you know, I've done that pretty well this year, but, you know, at the same time, I've seen how the glove can affect the game too. And both of those things, I've seen how they kind of go both ways. But, I would just say the excitement that, you know, that creating runs on the bases can kind of bring a crowd is probably my most favorite.
Looking at the playoffs coming up, what are you most excited about looking at postseason? What is your focal point? I know you guys have work to do still here, getting home field advantage, winning these next two ball games. But when your mind goes to next week, if it does, because I can't assume that, what are you most excited about?
Well, I would. It's kind of what we've been talking about here for the last week and some change since we've clinched, I guess, which is just being able to play more baseball here. I think this city deserves it. The fans have showed up all year for that, and so have we. You know, so. Being able to bring as much playoff baseball to Chicago and to Wrigley Field is absolutely what I'm looking forward to most. I don't think there's anything that really matches up. I think it's nice being able to just focus on the last 2 days of the regular season here and focus on winning these next two ball games. But, it's hard not to just love the idea of playing a lot of baseball here as the next month and a little bit goes on. So,
Pete, you mentioned Nico Horner as somebody that you reference as maybe helping you. He sets an example and you follow it. And it's been such a long season, and maybe we take for granted that and forget sometimes. I think this is your first full year in the majors, and there have been ups, there have been downs, there have been more ups and downs. But mentally, I imagine it can be exhausting. There can be lulls where you need a pickup, and somebody in the clubhouse has helped you behind the scenes that we're not aware of. When you think of guys like that, veterans who have been able to help you through some rough patches, who comes to mind? And how difficult has it been emotionally, psychologically, to get through the course of a long season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been difficult. Last year was a great sample size, and it was definitely a year that I needed. But this year, I will always consider this year to be my first real year, only because I've played every day. And I think with that, I've gotten to dive into really following the guys who do that as well. You know, the Nikos and the Ians and the Dansbys, the Michael Bushes. But then I also get to dive into, to JT and soak up all of his experience. So I think that's one thing that we've done really well this year, and kudos to Jed and Carter for bringing in the right people. We got the people who have the necessary experience, I think, to help a guy like me. Nico being one of those guys who I think we share a similar, similar style of play, similar motor. And then Ian being in the outfield with me, we get to talking a lot. And I named four guys, but I could kind of go down the list. I mean, Matty Boyd from the pitching side of things, I've loved getting to talk to him and pick his brain. And it's everyone from Nico to the Jaguar, man. Like, I think that's we just got such a good clubhouse in terms of the gel and unity and togetherness and whatever you want to call it. I just think we got the clubhouse built to play a long time, and I mean, I've gotten better each day just being around these fellas.
I was going to ask you to repeat the joke I told you the other day, but it would end both of our careers. So
yeah,
I'm not gonna do that. But what I'm gonna ask you about is something I asked you in postgame yesterday, and that is, you got emotional talking about what I called and what I've framed for you, Pete's people. Okay, the fans in the outfield and the way that you tipped your hat to them after they gave you that huge cheer. The whole ballpark was, but especially the bleacher people out there. Can you talk about why that's so emotional to you, if you can, and how those fans affect you?
The whole Cubs fan base is, I'm just continuing to kind of realize how unique it is. I've as the years gone on, I've definitely gone back and revisited, my own experiences as a Cubs fan. Being with my dad and being able to celebrate a 2016 Cubs team, and I think I just understand a little bit better now. I've enjoyed learning about people's Cubs lineages and what we really mean to them, and I know it's hard in baseball to like. I know it's hard to play 162. Like, I've seen that this year. It's hard to be out there for every single game. But I feel like that's part of my job is now to
to be able to give back to people who show up every day to watch me, I feel like it's my job to do that right back and be out there as much as I can. But like we have the best fan base in the world, and it feels really personal here. I think that's only reaffirmed when we got such a big traveling party and you see all our jerseys on the road. And I just think having been here all year, getting to call center field home and mine, I mean, those are the faces I turn around and see every day. So they've been with me this whole ride in a little bit different fashion than my teammates who I've, you know, grown to love so much this year. It's the same with my bleacher people, just for a little bit different of a reason, I guess.
Pete, we'll let you go, but on the way out, really appreciate your time. You amused a lot of Bears fans when you compared what you saw to Caleb Williams surveying the secondary. Just wondered if you had to summarize or compare your game overall to any NFL quarterback, who would it be?
Well, Caleb looked so good last week. I was happy for him. I had to boost myself up with that comparison. NFL quarterback that shares that I could compare myself to.
You got a lot of Lamar Jackson there. You got a lot of that escapability, I think. He's got a lot of fun little.
I was going to say Mike Vick, but I didn't know if you needed.
That's going way back.
I was going to say Mike Vick just only because he's a lefty. And I honestly think our running. This sounds weird, but I think the running mechanics are actually not too far off from Mr. Mike Vick and I.
I like that. We're going to take a look at that. I wonder who's faster in the race.
I think that I can answer that one for you, and that's probably him.
Not now, though. He's a coach. You're still playing.
Hey, man. If I trained to be a football player, we could have a different conversation. But probably Mike Vick.
That's a fun one.
A favorite of mine.
That's a fun thing to consider. You as a football player, Pete. Thank you so much. Best of luck in the playoffs, and we really enjoy you joining us this morning.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, guys.
Pete Crow Armstrong, the Cubs all-star center fielder. Bruce, thank you for setting that up. He was terrific. You see why people love PCA.
Well, he's always from the heart, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's no filter in the best possible way, right? The non-filter means he's always telling you exactly how he feels. And, I mean, to the point where, like, in April – I asked like two or three questions in a row after a game, and after when everyone else left, he said, you know, weren't you a little over aggressive today? You know, and I said, you know, Pete, you're right. I said, well, you know, I appreciate that. And I said, you know, none of us are too old to ever learn what we're doing. And in this case, he was 100% right. So this 23-year-old, you know, is teaching me how to do my job even at this point in time.
He also pointed out why it's important for the Cubs to have home field in the first series. We'll talk about that and why it's a different Padres team away from Petco Park when we return. It's Inside the Clubhouse till 11, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
PCA. PCA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pedro Pages pops it up. This is going to do it. Cubs are going to move to within one magic number. Caught by Swanson in shallow center. Ball game is over. Cubs win it easily, 12-1. The magic number down to one to clinch the top wild card spot and thereby being the home team for the entire best of three series starting next Tuesday against San Diego.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw. Brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you on 670 The Score.
Yes, we're back. And yes, it is important for the Cubs to get that home field advantage in the first series against the Padres. Bruce Levine, David Haw here till 11 Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce, the Cubs are 42-39 on the road, 48-31 at home. But more importantly, the Padres are 50-29 at Petco Park. You put them on the road, it's a team that's under 500, 38-43. That's what you need to look at when you talk about why home field advantage is so important to this Cub team.
It is. It wasn't in 2020, though, was it?
I don't care about 2020, you downer. Debbie Downer?
Downer.
Come on
I'm
now.
Downer for reminding you of history?
History isn't an apt comparison in this case. There were no fans in the stands. That home field atmosphere that Pete Carrasco just described.
It's a great point.
So it doesn't matter. 2018.
It would matter, but what you said matters more, and that is there was no energy
right
for either team either way. It did not help the Cubs whatsoever with those you know, those placards of people in the stands and no emotion. So you're right there. A home field advantage does matter. It should matter. And I think it's imperative that the Cubs win a game here in the next two games. I hope it doesn't go on down to tomorrow for them, having to think about using players they don't want to use with a Tuesday game starting, either in San Diego or Chicago. But that's what they'll be faced if they don't win today.
Quickly, Bruce, how big were Friday's milestones? Pete Carrasco, 30-30-30 with homers, doubles, and stolen bases. Michael Busch, 30 home runs this week. The first guy since 2019 to do that. Or Seiya Suzuki, Grand Slam gives him 30 home runs himself and 101 runs batted in. Which one is most surprising? Which one means I think most impactful to this lineup? None? Nothing?
None. Wow. Collectively, it's important.
Okay.
Collectively, they're hitting home runs again. Okay? I think that's what you look at going into Tuesday, that they're offensively starting to show. What did they score? The 7-9-12 the last three games? Something like that. Mm-hmm. To the point of, is never mind that they went through a bad streak, is the offense starting to pick up? Are they feeling good about themselves? Is there any synergy moving forward with the offense going into the playoffs? Does it shut down Tuesday with the Padres' best pitcher going at that point? So a lot of things to consider, a lot of things that we talk about, but the offense playing well, them being healthy, you know, Horton's health and Tucker's health, those are the main things.
The lineup is one thing. The rotation is another. When we come back, Jed Hoyer addressed that on Friday, and we'll play a little chin music looking at the Cubs' playoff starting rotation and bullpen construction. Keep it right here. A lot more to come in the second hour on Inside the Clubhouse. Will Venable at 10:30. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.